Shalom Aleichem, welcome to Mishnah Yomi. We are today beginning Pesachim, the first mission, the first chapter. I'm Rabbi Kovacs, absolutely thrilled to be learning with you. So let's get right into Mishnah Aleph. Or le'arba'asar, at nightfall on the 14th day of Nisan. Here the Bart Nura points out that or means light, and here it's a euphemism meaning the end of daylight, meaning nightfall, meaning it's basically 24 hours before the Pesach Seder. Bodkin et hametz l'or haner. We search for the chametz, the leavened bread, using the light of a candle. Now, the candle is used, you can see, into cracks. A lot of poskim say that a flashlight may be sufficient in modern times. However, some still advise using a candle along with the flashlight and whatever else is necessary to get rid of your chametz. Consult your local poskim for details. The Mishnah continues, Kol makom shein machnisin bo chametz, a place where you do not bring chametz into that place, ein tzarich bedika. So anywhere that you don't bring chametz, like you don't bring a sandwich into the bathroom or the shower, so you don't have to check there for chametz. Now, on this note, the Mishnah points out, V'lama Amru, so why did they say, so if you don't have to check a place, you don't bring chametz, why did they say, Shtei Shorot B'Martef, that we have to inspect two rows in the wine cellar, the wine storage? Now, this is interesting because the Mishnah is referring to a pre-existing teaching, as we're going to see. So there were teachings that were extant that were already in circulation before the codification of the Mishnah. So basically our sages are saying, hey, how can you say we don't have to check a place there's no chametz? Because we don't normally bring chametz to a wine cellar, and yet there's a debate over what we check in a wine cellar. So the Mishnah says, Makom shemachnisin bo chametz. So this wine cellar is a place where we would actually potentially bring chametz. And the Gemara is mechalik. There can be a wine cellar for storage where you're going to sell that wine, where you don't really bring chametz there. That's really like a warehouse. And then a personal wine cellar or wine storage room or closet. Yeah, somebody might be holding a piece of bread when they go down there to look for another bottle or another barrel of wine. So what is the debate about two rows in the wine cellar? Beit Shammai Omrim. So the Academy of Shammai, they said, Shtei Shorot al Pnei Kol Amartif. Two rows in the entire front of the wine cellar, meaning somebody might potentially drop a piece of bread or piece of chametz while he's rummaging around in the barrels or the bottles for the first two rows. That's where people might commonly bring wine out of. Behilo says the two outer rows, which are also the uppermost rows. Behilo says those are the places somebody might potentially drop chametz while they're bringing out wine. There's actually a debate in the Gemara, according to Rav and Shmuel, if we mean sort of the top two of the front row or the top of the front row and then the top of the second row deep. Because, I mean, it just really depends if the person is potentially bringing a barrel of wine from the very front row closest to the entrance or from the very top, the top level of wine casks or bottles in there. Great, let's go on to Mishnah Beit. Ein Hoshishin, we don't have to worry. Now, this is talking about after we do the inspection and we know that the room or the house is now chametz free. It's been well inspected. So at that point, Ein Hoshishin, we don't have to worry. Shema Girara Hulda, mi bayit labayit makam makam. That maybe a weasel or a mole or some translate porcupine, this Hulda, this animal has, which is one of the shratzim, by the way, one of the creepy crawly animals that we actually discussed in the last Mishnah Erevin. So one of these, weasel animals might grab a sandwich or grab a small loaf of bread or a cookie and might drag it into the place that's already been checked, and then you'd have to check it all over again. And the Mishnah explains to Im Ken, if we had to worry about weasels dragging cookies or bread slices around, mechatzer, mechatzer, meir leir, we'd have to worry from one courtyard to the next, from one city to the next, ein ledavar sof. And there'd be no end to our, understand, there'd be no really practical way to eradicate all the chametz because you can't have every single Jew check every single location, house, courtyard, and city at the same time. So maybe in city A, they would check for chametz, and then an hour later, city B would check for chametz. And if they're close enough together, maybe a weasel would come from the unchecked place and bring it back to the already checked place. Now, the Gemara in Pesachim, around Daf 9 or so, brings an amazing exchange about, well, are we worried that the weasel will take a slice of bread, then not eat it, but hide it somewhere? And Abaye says, yeah, the weasel is going to notice that people aren't baking bread, and so the weasel is going to stash the bread somewhere to save it for later. And then Rava says, every line of Shas is a great line, but one of the most memorable lines in Shas, he says, Ki holda nevi'a, what, a weasel is a prophetess? Which, of course, is amazing. An amazing line, is a weasel a prophetess? Because there is a prophetess named Hulda. That's her name. It's in 2 Kings chapter 22. They talk about her, and she's one of the seven famous prophetesses to the Jewish people, and her name was actually Hulda. So Rava has this really quite hilarious line. Do you think the weasel is a prophet? The weasel knows that people are going to make more bread today or not, but Hulda was actually a nevi'a. So you see in the Gemara there for details of that exchange. But back to basics here, the Bartanura here brings on Mishnah Aleph, the reason we're doing this inspection is there's two Isurim in the Torah, Bal Yirai, Bal Yematze. We should not see Chametz during Pesach, we shouldn't find Chametz during Pesach. So we really don't want it in the house. And he explains here, Afal Gav de Bebitul Ba'alma Sogi. It should be good enough to do bitul chametz, to say that your chametz is nullified, even if it's still lemaisa there locked up in the pantry. But even that could be problematic. The Bartner explains, Chayshinan Shemayim Segluska Yafifia. You might find a really nice little cookie or cake, Vayom Lechol Bitulo, and he will regret his bitul. V'yachshav Alehi Ochla, V'yavor Lav. So he'll change his mind, he'll undo his bittel, change his mind and say, oh, I really want to keep this chametz and I really want to eat it. So even if he intends to eat it after Pesach, could be a problem. He brings another version based on the Taisos that somebody might forget, since people are so used to eating chametz all year round except for that one week. Then if somebody finds a nice piece of chametz on Pesach that he didn't mamish get rid of, even though he did bittel, he might accidentally come to eat it without thinking. So Mazal Tov and Chaslacha Rabba on our beginning of Pesachim. Baruch Hashem, we're learning it right before we begin Pesachim. Mamish, we begin Pesach in just a few weeks. So Baruch Hashem, excellent timing. It's really a gift from Ribono Shel Olam, from Hashem Yisborach, that we are learning this together. Be well.